Welcome to the Post Up on HoopFeed.com. Welcome to the Post Up Podcast. This is your host, Cheryl Coward. Our guest for this episode is former WNBA player Janelle Burse. Her playing career included winning a championship with the Storm in 2004. On the podcast, she lets us know what she is up to these days.
I was drafted to play with the Minnesota Lynx in the second round out of Tulane University. And I played there for a couple of seasons, and I was traded to Seattle Storm, where I won a WNBA championship. So, and that's where I actually ended my career in Seattle from that point.
You had a good long career, though, and you moved from the bench to the starting position on the Lynx and then on the Storm. And then, like you said, you won that championship with the Storm. You know, what would you tell players, you know, who may have been in, who are in that position and who want to move to a starting role or want to be, you know, have a more successful career?
Just to keep at it, really, because that's what I did, and it ended up working out in my favor. A lot of times when you're on the bench, you know, I was pretty familiar with, you can get into a routine of just, you know, not even caring if you play or not, and just kind of, you know, doing your thing after the games and not doing your cardio. But you have to stay on top of that stuff, and you have to always be ready, because at any moment you can have that opportunity. And what you do with it at that moment, that's your responsibility. So it can either work in your favor or it could really hurt you. So you could either move up or actually end up off the team if you don't perform when given opportunity. So you just have to stay at it and make sure you always stay ready.
Thinking about that and where the league is now, when you look at the league and compare it to when you were drafted in 2001 and then played, what are the biggest differences you see in the level of play and the caliber of young players entering the league?
I see really, really great athletes. When I played, there were great athletes as well. But the, like, athletic ability of, say, a Brittany Griner to just be able to basically drop stuff and do a dunk. You know, we had Margot Dedek who could do that at the time, and she was 7'2". So to have a girl like Brittany Griner in the league, like, I just think that those kind of things are actually reshaping women's basketball in terms of athleticism. And I think that that'll draw more attention to the league as well, because, you know, a lot of people, from what I've heard, will say comments like, oh, well, women's basketball is boring, women aren't dunking, that kind of thing. But now when you watch a game and you see how athletic all of these girls are across the board from every position, that's not even something that can be argued anymore at this point. So I think that that will probably be, you know, maybe the most noticeable change.
Well, you are living in the hometown of Brittany Griner in Texas, which is the probably number one place for girls' basketball development. Do you see that on the prep level as well, or the AAU level? And what do you think of, you know, that and how it's going to impact women's basketball?
Oh, my God, yeah. Absolutely. The women's basketball circuit is crazy in Houston. It's really, I want to say it's more popular than the boys and the men's basketball, honestly. There's a guy who works out here. He used to play for the Knicks named Stephen Barber. He's a good friend of mine, and he has girls that come from all over to train with him out here in Houston, Texas. I mean, you have people like Stephen Barber, John Lucas, Muti Norris, Kerry Rigsby, these kind of guys who played at very high levels in the NBA and overseas training girls. Like, you know, that's their focus, and that means a lot to me, you know, being a female athlete and the fact that they're taking the time to focus on the girls and bringing them up into the ranks is a huge deal. But, yeah, the gym is packed out here with girls. It's really good.
Well, given that, what will you say to the naysayers who harp about the WNBA and the other leagues with pessimistic thoughts about its longevity and quality of play?
I don't really understand where any of the negativity would come from, honestly. I feel like these people don't actually plug in and lock into the game and to the league to really understand and, you know, see the articles and, you know, just kind of see rivalry games and that kind of thing and watch when they come on TV. I think that these people just kind of sit back and just form opinions just based on their thoughts versus actually watching a game or attending a game and seeing all the interaction with the fans and with the players before and after. I mean, it's pretty amazing. So I don't understand where that kind of negativity even comes from, honestly. The league, you know, this 20th anniversary, like, you will not survive as a business if you're not viable for 20 years. I don't care what kind of business you're running. So for the naysayers and that kind of thing, I don't understand where it comes from or any of that negativity. But the league is awesome. It's doing great. It's great athletes. It's great media and great games at the end of the day.
Well, kind of for you, looking back when you were growing up in Louisiana, who were your role models in basketball and sports in general?
My dad actually was my role model when I was playing as a small child, actually, when he first taught me how to dribble, because I would go and watch him play pickup at the park, and I wanted to play, and it was a way for us to hang out all the time. So that's how I really even got started in the sport with him. And from there, he, you know, introduced me to Charlie Domino, who runs a phenomenal AAU program down in Louisiana. And from that point, he got me ready to be able to be recruited and attend Tulane University. So those guys are, like, definitely the people that got me started at a very young age, my dad and Coach Domino.
Cool. Well, you know, you had an outstanding career at Tulane, which is a very good school academically as well, and you majored in computer information systems, minored in business administration, and you talked about, you know, the league being here for 20 years and how you can't be a successful business if you're, you know, around for 20 years, but you run your own business. What are some of the tips that you give to current and ex-players on how to prepare for or manage life after basketball?
The most important thing for me was getting started while I was still in the sport. A lot of the players right now have opportunities to be around a lot of people that could help them greatly in life after basketball. Networking is huge, and the more you do while you're a player and you have that platform, you have that pedestal, the better you'll be after you're done. Because a lot of things take, you know, it takes time, and these relationships aren't formed overnight. So if you can start doing that as a player, you know, and everybody knows your name in that city and that community, it's going to make it that much easier when you're done playing to walk into a career.
What was the catalyst for you to start your own business? And maybe tell us a little bit about what you are doing in that realm.
Well, I started the Juice Bars, the Fresh Factor. Actually, it was in 2011 after I had my first son. And to me, that was the hardest part. It wasn't so much, what am I going to do after basketball? I was like, okay, now I'm a mom and I'm trying to start a business. How is this going to work out? So just time management was the hardest thing for me going into it.
Okay. And now you have your business and you're commissioner of the Women's Minor League Basketball Association. How did you get involved in this new league and what are your expectations?
But actually, the president of the league, Ritanya Morgan, bought me into the WMLBA. She had a ton of experience in minor league basketball, especially in Houston. So she came to me with the idea about doing a developmental league for women. And it was just like, oh, my God, this is such a need. And that's, to me, the most important thing with starting a company. You're going to do incredible if you have a company that has a need, you know, a general population of girls who don't have anywhere to play. It's a huge need for what we're doing with the league. She bought me in, took me under her wing and kind of told me her vision. And from there, I've been kind of telling her a good bit on how things go in the WNBA because I've played in it for so long, obviously. So just two minds constantly working together, bouncing off of each other. It's a really good working relationship. So that's how I got started with this role.
And so this league will run in the fall and in the spring. Is that correct?
Yes. We'll have a fall season that will go pretty much parallel with the FIBA season so that we can help get girls jobs and placed in Europe before that deadline usually cuts off a little bit after Christmas, with the final transactions that you can bring players in. And then we'll have a season that runs parallel with the WNBA, so hopefully have girls get looks from those GMs of WNBA teams. So we want them to have opportunities during both seasons.
So it's kind of like a D-League in some respects to give players with skills exposure to maybe jump to the WNBA or to a good team overseas. Is that an accurate kind of comparison?
Yes, absolutely. And we want all of them to be tuned into our games. All the games will be broadcast on WML TV, and some of them will be a rebroadcast, and some of them will actually be live streamed, but it'll be a great way for, you know, those GMs and coaches to be able to get a good look at some of the girls. Like, if a girl is just killing it, you know, I'm pretty sure a lot of people are going to tune in to watch her play live. You know, it makes sense. So it would be a good way for you to get contracts for sure.
And how do you think this league can be successful in the way that previous leagues that have tried to do similar things weren't? I think it was the National Women's Basketball League that was running a few years ago, but it ceased operations in 2007. So how will this league be different, and what are the things you can do to make it a success?
I believe the biggest difference from what we're doing to what some of the other people are doing is that we're playing under a CBA, and it's very detailed, and I feel like that's going to be the most important key to us having, you know, a good company and making sure that everyone's being treated equally across the board in every city as far as players, coaches, and, you know, facilities that they play in and that sort of thing. I believe our level of professionalism, too, will carry over and be a true reflection of what the WNBA has in terms of how things are ran, because it's what I know, it's what I come from. So, you know, to see something any less than that is just not going to work for me, especially being commissioner of this league. So leading the charge with the WMLBA, I believe that that'll be the difference maker, because I want these ladies to have a good shot at making it to another level. I want them to be treated as professional athletes now. And I want them to train hard and just be able to represent our league well when they do get opportunities. So I feel like at a certain point, what we're producing is going to speak for itself. And that's what's going to be the big difference in us being successful in the longevity of our league.
Was having that collective bargaining agreement in place something that was crucial for you, especially with a business background and being in the WNBA?
Yes, it was vital. I mean, if you don't have that, you could go to just say San Antonio for a game and play at a high school gym, and you could come to Houston and play at a really nice facility downtown somewhere. We just want to make sure that our league is a true reflection of the level of professionalism we demand across the board in every city with every ownership group.
Okay. And so it begins in October. And how many teams do you have set in place so far?
Right now we have 8, but all 8 teams won't be playing in the 2016 season. Most of our ownership groups are going to come in for the 2017 season because we want to have time to market and brand those areas a little bit more than what it's been done. But right now, for 2016, it's going to be set up in a showcase format versus just a regular season.
And what has the level of interest been from former pro players and standout college players that haven't had a chance to get a pro career going yet?
Oh, it's going to be a great opportunity for them. That's the people we want. We definitely want girls reaching out to us who we feel like we can get jobs for, because we don't want to waste anybody's time, and it's not a rec league. You know, the league is going to make money when we get these girls jobs. So it's going to be a huge opportunity for those girls who just didn't get a chance or thought they would be drafted and never got called, that kind of thing. So that's the exact players we're looking for.
Okay. That gives us a good idea of what the league is about and what you expect. And I wish you a lot of luck in that. And I wish you would get a team when you expand out on the West Coast for us.
You know, we actually are working on that right now. We're really, really close to getting that done as we speak. So.
Okay. Can I ask, is it Northern California, Southern California? Because I'm based in the Bay Area.
Southern California. And that's all I can really say right now until it's done. But,
all
yeah,
right.
That is definitely in the working.
Well, I kind of want to go back to talking about you and your career a little bit. You know, I was reading about, you know, since you're from New Orleans and some of the work that you've done with nonprofits, and, you know, you did a lot of fundraising work after Katrina, but you still seem to be involved in that nonprofit sector. How important is it for you as a ex-pro player or someone who's involved in athletics to give back to the community?
It's huge. It really is. Even after you're done playing, believe it or not, you know, people still feel like I have a pedestal. So as long as those people feel that way, I'm going to use it as much as I can to bring attention to certain causes and that sort of thing out there. You know, if it wasn't for that, then people, you know, athletes really in general, doing things and giving back to the community and bringing attention to certain causes, they wouldn't make the money that they make in those fundraising events. So any opportunity I have to do stuff like that, I'm definitely always there.
Excellent. Well, just want to wrap up. Is there anything you want to say to your fans, the Storm Crazies who still love you? They are some of the best fans in the league. You know,
absolutely.
Just to give a shout-out to them and, you know.
Just that I love the Seattle Storm. I will always be a Seattle Storm at heart. I love the fans there. Thank you guys for all the support that you've always given me, even now to this day. And just, you know, keep up with our league and follow us on Twitter. Everything is at WMLDA.
Awesome. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you.